Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. My creative tonight is Scott Reeder, prop master extraordinaire. He is based out of Austin, Texas, and he's been in the business for more than 30 years. He's currently working on the new Walker, filming right there in Austin, and he has some of the coolest prop gadgets and insight into the world behind the world of film. I had a really good time talking to him, and I learned a ton. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host pup, and enjoy the show.
Hi.
Well, hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just going through a lot of your TikTok videos, picking out my favorite things I want to talk about. Well, today is August 18th, so we're about 2 months out from Halloween. So I'm sure someone with your expertise would have a lot of ideas for people that maybe they could do at home to decorate and things like that, if you're cool with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got, I'm full of stuff that work for Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm currently working on Walker, Texas Ranger. Well, it's not called Walker, Texas Ranger. It's just called Walker.
The new
CW, the new one with
Jared.
That's correct.
Oh, that's awesome though.
Yeah. We're just prepping. We just started back for season two.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And he seems like such a great guy anyways, not to get off on a Jared Padalecki.
No, we can go off on whatever you want to talk about. You know, he's a great guy. I worked with him on Friday the 13th back in 2009. So I'd already worked with him and knew I was getting into a good situation with a good guy. So
absolutely. So everybody, I'm here with Scott Reeder. He is a prop master. He does some of the coolest crap that I've seen on TikTok, and he gets to do that every day as your job. I mean, that's super cool. I mean, people dream about like turning their creativity or their imagination into what, you know, what they do, and you're getting to do it every day. How long have you been doing this?
I worked my first film in 1989. So 30, going on 33 years. I was 19 when I started. I was still going to college, and I was fortunate that a movie came to town in the college town. I was in Denton, Texas at University of North Texas. Mm-hmm. And I just found out a movie was filming there. And I was proactive and found out they were shooting at a hospital and went to the set and offered to pick up trash and do whatever I needed to do. And I just kind of worked my way in.
Well, isn't that how sometimes it goes? It's like they tell you, you might have a dream of this big job, but maybe you need to start in the mailroom, or maybe you need to start as a secretary and work your way into it. Because you're right, if they see that you're interested and you're a hard worker, the opportunity for advancement is like, it's there for people that work for it, that show that the drive. Were you a creative kid? Were you like artistic? Did you just have a vivid imagination?
Well, yeah, I'm artistic, but not, no, I never had any aspirations to be a professional artist, because I knew there were so much people that were much better than me. Yes, I've always had kind of a creative mind, and kind of like a lot of people had aspirations to write and direct. I directed my first feature back in 99, and I did a couple short films since, but I was so deep into the art department that I stuck with it. I really enjoy it. And I chose not to move to LA. I chose to stay in Texas, and I've made a career, like I said, 32 years without having to move to LA. And, and not that LA is a bad place. It's just I like it here. So it's been nice. And I travel a little bit when I have to. Like I went to Rhode Island and did Nosferatu back in 2018, 2019. And so I travel a bit. And then when there's work here in Austin, which right now there's a ton, I work here, and through my prop shop, I'll rent to the other shows. There's Fear the Walking Dead. There's an HBO show, series filming here, Netflix show. There's Robert Rodriguez has always got something going on. I work with him on occasion.
Yeah. Well, Nosferatu, that's based on the Joe Hill book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He was super nice. It was really strange. He came into my office during prep for season one. I didn't do season two. I just did season one. It was like Stephen King from 1979 was walking in my door. He looked so much like, and super nice guy. And very, talk about a creative mind. He is amazing. And so it was interesting making that kind of crazy ass story come to life. Because it's pretty wacky that it was a combination of the novel, and he had also done a graphic novel mm-hmm. called The Wraith. So they melded the two, what we did. It was crazy.
Wow. That, oh God, that sounds like so much fun just to be on the set, but creepy at the same time. Yeah. It's so funny with Joe Hill. He used his middle name rather than his last name because he wanted to get there on his own merit, not on his father's name. But it's like, honey, have you looked in the mirror? Because I think people might say, are you related? But he is. Yeah. He's a brilliant mind. Nosferatu is a creepy as hell book. First of all, if you haven't read it, you guys go read it because it's creepy. It's like, read it with the lights on.
Just for trivia's sake, his name is Joe Hillstrom King, like H-I-L-L-S-T-R-O-M. So he just shortened it to Joe Hill, utilizing his middle name, which I thought was interesting.
So you're working on Walker, not Walker, Texas Ranger, which not necessarily a reboot. It's more of a reimagining, would you say?
It's kind of a reboot reimagining. You know, it's you're still dealing with the main character of Walker, and he's a Texas Ranger. To be honest, that's about where it ends. I mean, all the other characters, this is more, it's more family oriented. So it focuses on his kids and his mom and dad. And I mean, it's still a lot of action, but nothing like, I mean, the Chuck Norris version, it was like action all the way through. We had, and I worked on the original too, by the way. So I did 196 episodes of the Chuck Norris version of Walker, Texas Ranger. And it was, we had two separate units going. So we'd have your main unit that was, had our lead actors and mostly interior sets. And you shot the meat of the show. And then there was a whole separate stunt unit, what we call a second unit. And we would film all the car chases, the bar fights and whatnot. Chuck would come in and he did a lot of his own stunts, but he had stunt doubles for like the car chasing. He had like a driving stunt double, a really good precision car driver that handled that stuff. We were always blowing stuff up every episode. It was great. So this has, the current reimagining, as you say, it has its share of car chases, but it's just not, we're not blowing up half a city block like we do. Yeah.
Seems like it's a little more story focused.
Definitely more story focused, family focused. And it's got some good twists and turns.
I mean, for time, the original Walker, Texas Ranger, that's what people wanted. They wanted the action. If Chuck Norris wasn't, kicking somebody in the chin, they weren't tuning in. That was the time period. I mean, that and like, I want to say that like WWE and all that was, all that action and fighting and karate and things like that was just so popular at the time. I mean, but 169 episodes?
I think 196. It was close to 200. Yeah.
Crazy. For people listening who just go in and watch a television show or a movie, they don't realize, unless, they follow or, the work of someone like you. One scene, you said a bar fight. Okay. There's probably 1,000 props, right? Mm-hmm. There's the ice in the glass, the fake liquor. There's the fake window that someone gets thrown through. All this stuff. There's fake blood from someone's broken nose. People don't realize, I think, and you said you didn't really get out of the art department. Well, the art department is you're such a backbone to a production, because if you guys aren't there, if you're not there, if wardrobe's not there, you got some naked actor standing around with nothing.
Pointing their finger instead of using a finger gun.
That was a question I was going to ask you on Walker that you're working on now. Fake guns, fake knives, all that stuff, right?
Yeah. It's breakaway beer bottles, breakaway, like I said, if a window breaks, that's all breakaway resin. If there's a fight on the floor, we'll do silicone. If you watch some of my videos, we do this thing called silly glass, and it looks just like glass, but the stunt guys and actors can roll around on the floor, and it's just like rubber,
right? And they won't get hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
You can use the same stuff in for like ice cubes and things, I was saying, right?
Mm-hmm. It goes in we just pour it in an ice tray or whatever, a mold of some sort. We use it as ice as well, and it's totally silent.
Okay, so in a scene where there's a beautiful cabinet full of crystal and she's chucking them at mm-hmm. her husband or her cheating husband,
well then that would probably that would be the break breakaway. That would be a breakaway resin. It's more, it's rigid, but it won't hurt. Yeah, it will, because the Silly Glass, it's bouncy like rubber. And with, you know, you can't really mold it into a crystal base. You do this, it's a breakaway resin that's super brittle. You squeeze it a little bit, like with the beer bottle, you just barely squeeze it and it'll just disintegrate in your hand. So there's no way it can really cut you. I mean, I've had like a mild abrasion from one, like on my head, because I'm bald. don't have any hair to protect it. But that's the worst that can really happen, is a very light abrasion with the breakaway.
You said something and it made me think of something. Gosh. All right, we'll keep talking. It'll come back to me. Oh, yes, I remember. Okay, so in a comedy where someone picks up like a frying pan and whack somebody, is that going to be like rubber? Or because you don't want it to break, because you want to keep the illusion that it's a cast iron skillet. What kind of that be?
That's a rubber frying pan. You know, it used to be a lot more difficult, but now there are companies that make them. They're a little more readily available. I found a company out of LA called newruleeffects.com, and they have like good standard rubber items. Like they'll have like a rolling pin, frying pan, hammers, and that's a good resource. They also have retractable needles. So yeah, there have been a good like last minute resource if you need something. And there, something like a rubber frying pan that you brought up, the handle still needs to be rigid, but you just need the bottom of the pan, that to be kind of like a trampoline. So everything else is kind of stiff to where you don't see a wonk, you know, like a real wonk. Then there's, hold on, give me one second. So there's things like this. This is like a crowbar, you know, and these are readily available online. You can find them on eBay, you know, or even Amazon, you can find these. But if you give them a better paint job, a lot of times they'll come with like fake blood dressed on them, you know, but you can, you know, hit them with some flat black and then wipe on a little silver on the edges, like spray a little silver and hit the edges, and it looks pretty good. There's a little metal armature in it, and that's what keeps it from bending too much, you know, so. You got to really push it to bend it, but like that's the only soft part. But yeah, see, it doesn't give you that flop like a B movie from the 1960s.
Yeah. Having been in the business for so long, you must have seen these advancements over the years. I mean, I'm trying to think, I don't remember what year it was, but Michael Douglas was in a movie. I think it was called The Game. Do you remember that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And towards the end, he like falls, I forget how many stories, into that like atrium and all the glass breaks around him.
Okay.
But back then it wasn't, I want to say like sugar glass or something like that. And now you have this, the resin.
They were using the resin then. They've been using it, just like you call it, you know, say I've got a lead pencil. It's really graphite. People call it sugar glass, candy glass, but it's, I did some research on it because there are a lot of people on TikTok saying that, oh, they still use sugar glass. It's been like 50, 60 years since it's been used, like since like the old, you know, B Westerns, because actual candy glass, it's kind of like, it's super sticky. It yellows real easy. Like a week after you make it, it's yellow. So it's hard to store. It attracts ants. It's not, and it's actually a little more dangerous. It makes sharper edges, more glass-like. So back there's a Alphonse, Gutierrez, I believe, he used to work at Universal back in the 50s and 60s. And with the Universal Effects Department, they came up with, they just kept trying different products and they developed like a resin formula. And then they just kept perfecting it through the years. By the time I came in the 80s, they were already readily using had already been using it quite a while, the resin, and it stays clear. You can make up, like you can buy it off the shelf in LA in 4x8 foot sheets.
Oh, wow.
It's very, very fragile, but yeah. And they'll make it thicker. So they can do like those atrium scenes like you're talking, but it confuses people because, you know, there was also, and including the game, like what you're talking about. There's a movie called Police Story with Jackie Chan, where he almost got killed doing a deal where he drops through a big, you know, ceiling, glass ceiling and everything. You know, Jackie Chan would say that was candy glass, but he's just saying, yeah, that's just what they called it.
So the name.
If you look at it, if it was candy glass, it would have waves in it and it would be yellow and right. the stuff in that. And then like the game that I'm willing to bet without remembering the exact scene that Michael Douglas was going through or a stunt guy was going, probably resin.
Yeah. And I feel like sugar glass or candy glass being made from sugar, it wouldn't be as clear, right? It would be a little more, what is the word, opaque? It'd
be a little opaque and, yeah, you know, cloudy and yellow more than anything. Yeah. It's
so cool.
Yellows quite a bit, but and I even one post I did about that, everybody came back and said, well, what about the Grinch? Jim Carrey was eating, and the Grinch, Jim Carrey, you know, takes a bite off a bottle, spits it out, and then starts chomping on the bottle. So I was very fortunate to have already met the prop master from the Grinch, Emily Ferry. I called her up just out of pure curiosity and said, okay, my guess is that you used a standard breakaway bottle, and he just did that kind of, you know, like when you're watching Sesame Street, Cookie Monster, when he eats a cookie, it just kind of all falls to the side. And I was like, he was doing like a Cookie Monster thing, wasn't he? Was he even, I mean, it would be like, he'd be like chomp on it and then it just kind of fall out of his mouth. And she said, yeah, that's what they did. They just used a standard resin bottle and he just, you know, chewed on it and it kind of just fell out of his mouth. And then they do a cut, you know. So even if you had a sugar bottle, you've got lines to deliver. So it's most times if you're watching the food scene, forget glass, just any kind of food, they'll oftentimes cut before they get around to swallowing. And we'll have like, I know this sounds gross, but every time we do a food scene, we have spit buckets. So because the actors, you know, if they're chomping down for a 15-minute scene, it can take 5-6 hours to shoot that scene, and they don't want to be eating that much food. Or they'll have a line to deliver, so they'll quickly spit it out and you know, continue shooting the scene.
That takes a lot of editing, I imagine, because I mean, how often have you been out to dinner and as soon as you put a bite in your mouth, the waitress comes along and says, how we doing? And you're like,
But you don't see that in movies much. They just keep talking.
Yeah, we need some realism. Someone talking about people going, does food and, you know, say it's a Thanksgiving meal, does that fall under the prop department as well?
Yeah, if it's food on camera, it's our responsibility. So I'll do, my guys are really good at dealing with food. I'll typically order the food from a caterer, or I'll have our crew caterer make it. I'll have a whole setup with Cambros to keep the food, to keep food warmers, basically. Food warmers keep the food warm. I'll have microwaves. I'll have, coolers of ice for food that we want to keep on ice, and then we'll heat it later in the day for after lunch. So you got to think about, you know, just continuing. Or I'll have the caterer after lunch whip me up another batch of the turkey or whatever it is. Yeah. And so I'll have somebody else cook it, unless it's like pancakes. And then we'll put a griddle, have a griddle set out, and we'll do the pancakes so they have good fresh food. Cause, you know, pancakes, when they sit out too long. Yeah. I'm saying that because we do every scene. It's kind of a thing that every episode of Walker starts off in the morning and there's a breakfast scene. So they were always having to whip up pancakes. So, yeah. It's kind of crazy.
This is real edible food that you're putting on the table.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like, I remember being a little girl, to talk about myself. We went to this big, massive, like Baptist church, and they had it was televised, right? It was that kind of big super church, right? And they had a Thanksgiving special. And I remember being so hungry. It was filmed at the beach and I was so hungry. And I was like, to my parents, I'm like, when are we going to eat? My mom's like, the turkey's not even cooked. They had a real turkey, but like, you know, sprayed it with the paint and and the fake fruit. And I was like, but I'm so happy to hear that the actors actually get to eat real food.
The only time we'll use fake food on a TV show will be like, if it's like a market. I did a show that was all set in Iraq. 2004, mm-hmm. and we saw this like big like food market area, and we did a lot of like fake fish on ice, you know. Mm-hmm. So instead of ice, we'd use, you know, rock salt with rubber fish, and then, you know, lots of, you know, fake, you know, fruits and vegetables and stuff, that sort of thing, because or else it would get really smelly really fast in 110 degree weather in Texas in the summertime. Right. But yeah, but and in commercials, we'll bring in food stylists that they handle the food on a commercial, because that's their deal, because it's extreme close up. Yeah. And, you know, they'll have a special chemical that they spray on a burger, and it'll be like this chemical smoke that looks beautiful. But, you know, none of that food is edible typically. Right. Unless you see a shot of somebody take
it. That's crazy.
But one kind of funny thing, since we're talking about it, is one thing they'll use on commercials is something like this. It's just a cookie cutter, uh-huh. but this will look like bite marks if you know, into a hamburger or a sandwich. So a lot of times we'll have to do partial plates. And sometimes we don't have time for the extras to come in and take a couple bites beforehand. So we'll prep partial plates, and you can use something like that as a to take bites out of it. And, you know, one of the little tools of the trade.
Right. So for like the denture cream commercial where they take a bite out of the apple and they're like.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
We fake just about everything.
Fake it till you make it. I tell you what.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things, aside from the blood puddles, because I thought those were super cool, and I would love to find a way for listeners to try to recreate that, because you can't really with your haunted houses, unless you want, like you said in your video, unless you want to have a big cleanup, you don't really want to put the fake blood everywhere. My other favorite thing that you talked about, and my mom did ceramics. So I knew exactly what you were talking about with the breakaway dishes and the green, you know. That was probably my favorite thing, because you see in the movies all the time, especially movies like where they're angry, Thor, the first Thor, where he throws his coffee cup to the ground, another, you know, and I think it's the Greeks that throw the plates in the fireplace for good luck, thing like that. And it's all, mm-hmm. it's all green pretty much, unless it's glass. And then maybe it's the resin.
Yeah.
It's just, so like, I'm that person that wants to go to one of those rage rooms. Not that I'm a raging person, but the idea of like throwing things and having, I don't know. I feel like it would be a good therapy session.
It is. I love doing my videos where I break stuff, because it's just fun breaking stuff.
Right, it is. And you broke the plate over your head, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. One thing you got to watch out for, because that's, I'll typically break the older stock and save the newer stuff for actors to use. As I learned, you don't want to go too thick with the paint on it, because that kind of, you know, stiffens it up, and it I wouldn't say it didn't hurt me, but I felt it more so than I should.
You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but yeah, because you put layers of paint on it, it thickens it up. So I would recommend, if you were to buy that stuff, and it's not 100%, because I said it's basically unfired ceramic. There is a little bit different mixture. I feel like there's like some paraffin or something in it that keeps it, that helps hold it together and soften up the edges when it break. But if you were to, I wouldn't recommend brushing paint on that, the ceramic, on the unfired ceramic. I would recommend just spraying it that mm-hmm. way, you know, because you do a layer of latex, it's going to hold that, you know, it's going to want to hold together. So yeah, I'd say a light spray with some off-white spray paint on the plate.
Yeah. So you said you directed a feature film. We're going way back now.
Oh, way back to 99. Yep. Wow. I just made the festival circuit with it. I didn't, never got distribution or anything. It's called Boondoggle.
Boondoggle.
It was fun. It was fun. And fun little movie.
Was it a comedy, a drama?
It was a dark comedy. Oh, very nice. Much inspired by, you know, Coen Brothers and Tarantino action. I was utilizing what I, you know, what my resources were. And that was when I was working on Walker. So I had my effects buddies joining in. And
So you're in the office, huh?
I'm in the office, yeah.
That calendar behind you, I'm jealous. I need a calendar like that.
It's all blank. I still got stuff to fill in. I'm just getting settled in.
You're fine. Walker's filming in Texas, you said, right?
Correct, in Austin.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a cousin out there. Okay. I can't remember if he's in Austin or Houston. I get it mixed up. My cousin.
Oh yeah.
You wouldn't know.
A lot of the filming takes place in, or the filming in Texas is either in Dallas or Austin. There haven't been a ton of films in Houston, but now Houston finally has a TV show. So that's good. That's good for them. So
yeah, I was talking to a filmmaker, and his project starts filming in the fall in Winnipeg. And I said, wow. And we got into a discussion about how it's so funny how people, not so much anymore, were realizing that there's other cities other than Los Angeles and New York. Mm-hmm. There's Atlanta, you know, even in Kentucky, filming, and it has to do with like the taxes and things like that. But
yeah, tax incentives a big deal.
People have more opportunities to be involved. Like you were saying, you were in college and when you lived in Denton, Texas, mm-hmm. and they came to film, and it's like, what? You know, I'm in Florida. We have Orlando, you know, they film in mm-hmm. Miami. Sometimes we get really excited. They come to Cocoa Beach because that's close. But it's so refreshing to see more than just the two main bigs. I feel like it opens it up a little more for everybody.
Yeah. Right now, Atlanta is almost bigger than Hollywood. They're filming more stuff in Atlanta than they are in Hollywood itself. We have a nice film community here in Austin. And there's like six or eight projects going on here, but that's nothing compared to like Atlanta has probably 60 different projects going on. And so New Mexico has really good film incentives. A lot of filming happens in New Mexico. Same with New Orleans. New Orleans has got a huge film community.
It's so nice to be like everywhere else. That's so cool.
Yeah, I did Pitch Perfect in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, actually.
I got to talk to David Del Rio. I love Pitch Perfect. That's such a great
I came in like the first week. The original prop master left like first couple days, so I just came in thinking, oh my gosh, I'm coming in not knowing anything. But I read the script the night before I drove in, and I was like, this is really funny. This has, you know, this could be really good. And it was one of my best experiences working on Pitch Perfect. It was, everyone was extremely easy to work with. Everyone was really cool. Everyone was so talented. You know, Ben Platt, of course, Anna Kendrick, they were all just amazing. Anna Camp and Rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was fun.
So I wanted to talk about, we already talked about the glass, and I'm going to research that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Blood puddles. You said mm-hmm. in the video, to get it, and I'm sorry I didn't write it down. But is that something, do you think, that could be reproduced at home without buying it?
I think they could. You just have to do the research on the urethane resin. I've never made it just because, you know, I'm at this point in my career, I'm not so much a prop maker as a prop master. So I will get the scripts and I will hire people to do stuff. I'll sub things out because it's going so fast. I do an episode in 7 days. So I've just got to line it up and get it in and get it to set and show them how to use the stuff. I had rented those from a friend of mine who has an effects shop across town. But there's also a company called Dapper Cadaver. That's a great website. You got to check it out. I'm giving some good plugs to some people. They make the blood puddle. So you could order a couple samples to see. I mean, if you really want to make them to kind of get some ideas on the consistency, because they're really well done. They're not solid. They're semi-opaque and they're super shiny on top. I've seen people try to make them out of silicone, and the silicone, it attracts like dust bunnies on the floor and gets real dusty it just attracts dirt.
Yeah.
But this urethane stays really clean. And I don't know if you saw the blood puddle video. It's got a good, like almost a mirror shine to it. It looks like fresh blood.
Ew, it's very thin.
Mm-hmm. And it's a little expensive, but I don't know if you, once you weigh out having to buy the materials and then troubleshoot, because you're having to mix the colors in and everything. If you're doing it to make a super large quantity, that's one thing. But if you're just needing it for one scene in a room, it's almost worth it to buy it. So, yeah, but it would be a fun project. There's also, you could always experiment with, they make a crystal clear hot glue. You could melt hot glue. I don't know if that would work. I'm not recommending, because you're be careful if you're melting that stuff in that larger quantity, but it would be an interesting experiment to do the crystal clear and then mix in some red hot glue, because they make different colors too. Maybe mix in some red hot glue or some resin dye, or I don't know, maybe I would just Google to see find people that color hot glue, and see if that would work to make a blood puddle. Might work, might not. That's one experiment I've been wanting to do.
And if anybody does it and are successful with it, post it up on TikTok and tag us,
Let us there you go.
Now, this is just me laughing at myself, but you talked about the fake alcohol. And the first thing I thought about it was, that was like 389,000 times. That was amazing, just off the top. And then I was like, how many of these were liked by teenagers who now know, thanks to you, how to fill up the liquor bottles and mom and dad's. Why does this taste funny? That was super cool too, because, and my only experience, my only knowledge of it is from an episode of House, where the soap opera actor ended up with, I want to say, quinine poisoning, because he kept drinking tonic water and it was supposed to be vodka. But as you were showing, wine is like wine, and non-alcoholic beer, non-alcoholic wine, but the whiskeys and for vodka, you just use water, right?
Yeah, that's all we use. I've never had to use anything other than water for vodka. And we use the regular mixers too. I was just, you have such a limited time on TikTok, you have to keep it under a minute, and there's so much to tell. But I'll consult with the actors first, and I'll say, okay, well, do you want tea? Do you want it to just do caramel and water? Because with the caramel coloring, there's no flavor. You're just doing like two drops for a whole like 16 ounce water bottle of it. And that's what we'll do, like I did in the video. We'll mix it up in a water bottle, just a fresh brand new water bottle, two drops, shake it up, and then that's pretty much the color you want for whiskey. But we'll also ask the actors if they want sweet tea. A lot of times they just don't want all the sugar. Apple juice looks great too, but a lot of people don't want to spend 3 hours sucking down shots of apple juice. So we give them all those options, or we'll start out with, and we don't typically like doing that. We'll say, we'd like you to, whatever you pick, to stick with it, because it's a hard matching the colors. Once you start using apple juice, then switching to a colored water, you've got to really quickly match that color, and you kind of need, it takes a little bit of time to do that. And when the director's tapping their foot, they don't want to watch you mixing colors in of water. To stick with, we're going to do caramel water. We stick with that, and we make one big batch of it, and then go through our day.
Because anything else, you're messing with the continuity, and time is money on a set. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So if the actress is in a restaurant or a bar and she orders a Bloody Mary, it's just a mixer and things like that. That's good to know.
Without the vodka. Yeah. And same with like margaritas. We'll just do, it'll just be like a lime slurpee.
That's so cool. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you before we go, and you can dream big, out of every show, movie, go as far back as you want, is there a project that you would have given your wisdom teeth to work on?
Something that I didn't work on?
Yes, that you would have loved to. And you can go back 50 years if you want to.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I will say, okay, and people are going to make fun of me, but it because a lot of people would say this, Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
And that, not for the typical reason, because there were a lot of things that made it a miserable shoot for some of the people, but I'm very nostalgic, and I spent some time when I did Nosferatu there. They shot it at Martha's Vineyard, and I was in like Jamestown, Rhode Island, all real close there. So I got to see a lot of the places. I traveled a bit and went to a lot of places where they filmed Jaws. So it's just the whole thing, the thought of going back in time to that, meeting Roy Scheider and watching that happen. But because I'm a big fan of Jaws. So I'd say that. I don't know. But now you got me thinking, there's a million different ones I'd would have liked to have been involved in.
Like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh, yeah. Well, the original.
The original, yeah.
Now, Tim Burton's version was pretty amazing, too. But
yeah.
But I grew up as a kid watching the original Willy Wonka on a little black and white TV. And, you know, and so I watched it probably 6 times before my family got a color TV. It makes me sound really old.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. I still have my VHS. It's fine. You're talking had a crush on Gene Wilder. Okay. So well, it's so cool talking to you.
Oh, same here. Same here. Enjoyed it. I love talking movies.
Absolutely. And I can do it all day long. Where can people follow you? Obviously on TikTok at Scott and Roll, right?
Scott Prop and Roll. And then same on YouTube. Please follow me on YouTube. I've kind of got a late start on that. And there was someone that did a fake channel back in in January and used my profile picture, like took all my videos and posted them without my permission. And next thing I know, there's this person that's got a fake account and they've got 75,000 followers. So I had to do copyright strikes, get them pulled down, because it was more than just someone. Yeah, you know, a lot of times people will do compilations and post your video without your permission. It's here and there, that's okay. But this one was like, everyone thought it was me and that's not okay. So I had them pulled down. But then when I tried to start my own channel, I couldn't get anyone to follow me. And now it's picking up and I've had some videos that are doing well. So that's Scott Prop and Roll as well. Instagram, Scott Prop and Roll. And so I tried to go same thing across the board. So, but yeah, check me out on YouTube. That would be a big help.
Absolutely.
And I'm about to do some exclusive YouTube content because there's some stuff. TikTok's very particular. You can't talk about weapons at all. You say the word gun, they can pull it. Yeah, or even if I have or trying to show like a rubber prop gun, you know, they don't like that. So on YouTube, I'll be doing that content about, you know, prop weapons and how we fake, you know, doing gunfire and rubber weapons and swords and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. I was surprised when you were talking about the retractable props. I was really surprised. I was like, oh my God, they actually left that one up.
I was surprised too.
Yeah. So weird. But it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Oh, well, thanks. It was fun. Enjoyed it.
Say hi to Jared for me, okay?
I will. All right. You have a good evening.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Scott. As always, head on over to beunique.org. Show them some love. Show them some support. I wouldn't be the pup I am without them. I'm on all social media as Pup Duffy. I'm on the TikTok. I'm on the Instagram, the Twitter. And you can follow and like the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. You can check out Scott over on TikTok and YouTube. Please go check out his YouTube channel. He's got some of the coolest videos. He's Scott Prop and Roll. That's like stop, drop, and roll, but Scott Prop and Roll. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's backs, and I'll see you next time.